And now, without further ado, we have the one and only Seth Grossman from Liberty and Prosperity. Seth, what's on your mind this morning?
Oh, a whole lot of things. anyone coming to the meeting of Liberty and Prosperity on Saturday morning, today, you know, today, if you're listening on Saturday, it was yesterday, if you're listening Sunday afternoon, we're asking the people who come to do a little multitasking. Besides having a regular breakfast discussion on the topics of the day, we're asking you to keep your hands busy stuffing envelopes and putting address labels on them so we could send our invitation to the fundraiser coming up on February 17th. Our guest speaker will be Craig Calloway, and for whatever you say about him, he's one of the most successful and sought-after grassroots election workers in America. He started doing this in the early 1990s, doing what most ward leaders in Atlantic City had done since the days of Nucky Johnson. Every election cycle, Craig Calloway would go door-to-door in the neighborhood, talk to each voter, register anyone who was new, notice which voters died or moved away, and on election day, he would bring to the polls everyone who supported his candidates. But then, in the late 1990s, Craig Calloway noticed that there were new laws in court cases that no longer required medical affidavits to get people to vote by mail or through messenger. So he would boost voter turnout dramatically by getting thousands of voters who supported his candidates to use mail-in ballots and messenger ballots, so they all voted long before Election Day. And that's how Calloway unseated incumbent Mayor Jim Whalen in 2001 and put in Democrat Lorenzo Langford. And what he did attracted national attention. So in 2004, Craig Calloway was hired by John Kerry, the Democratic candidate for president against Bush. And Calloway went around the country teaching his methods to the Democrats there. So he's going to be our speaker. And I think it's going to be very, very interesting. Whatever you think about Craig or whatever you think about Democrats, he has a lot to teach.
Well, I know that he certainly is a controversial figure, but he's effective, that's for sure.
And he's a worker.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever somebody hires him, I mean, Amy Kennedy, she hired him for the primary, she won, then she didn't hire him, which didn't make any sense, but that's another story.
Exactly. And the next thing, of course, which no one's really talking about, is America is slowly drifting into a second civil war. You know, if you look at the Constitution, it says that no state without the consent of Congress shall enter into any agreement or compact with another state or engage in war unless actually invaded or in imminent danger that will not admit delay. That's what the Constitution says. So is Texas being invaded? I think the key legal and constitutional question is that if you could call a riot at the Capitol on January 6th an insurrection, it's very easy to call 10 million people coming illegally into America, especially through Texas, an invasion. So Governor Abbott of Texas is setting up barriers to keep invaders from crossing into Texas. Governor DeSantis is offering to send the Florida National Guard to the Texas border. And you have 24 Republican governors that are pledging to support Florida and Texas. We haven't seen anything like this since the beginning of the Civil War in 1860. You would think we all be talking about that, right?
Yeah.
But we're not. We're talking about a New York jury awards Jean Carroll $83 million in the second defamation case on top of a $5 million award she got from a previous lawsuit in 2019. So who benefits from distracting Americans from probably the most important issue since the Civil War? So I guess we have to talk about the Trump's Jean Carroll case. So how do we get there? And I'm talking as a lawyer and as someone who has advised political leaders. Well, we got there because back in 2019, when Trump is getting a run for re-election, the Democrats do what they always do. They wanted to stir up a political issue that Donald Trump hates women. And so you had a string of women would come out and say that Trump had sexually abused them at some time during the 1990s. Remember that?
Yes.
And one of them, of course, was Jean Carroll, who was a nobody. And she wrote an article in an obscure New York magazine or publication that that said that during the 1995 or 1996, she had been sexually assaulted by Donald Trump. And, of course, Trump had various ways to respond to it. Now, of course, the way he responded to it was he's saying she's a liar, she's a nut job, I never did anything like that, she's making the whole thing up, and besides, she's ugly and she's not my type. That's what Trump said, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Now, in a normal situation, with a normal leader, what would happen? What would happen is you would not respond, the leader would not respond in any way unless talking it over with some advisors, including some lawyers. And what would any advisor or lawyer say to Donald Trump if Trump said, well, this is the story, I know that, Jean Carroll, she's a nut job, I'm going to tell the truth about her. Well, the problem that...
They would tell you, keep your mouth shut.
Well, and they'd also say something like this. They'd say, Mr. President, remember the Access Hollywood tapes where you're on tape bragging about doing exactly what Jean Carroll was accusing you of doing? So I'd be a little careful about doing that. And when you say she's ugly and she's not my type, look at her photograph from 1995. She looks had the identical appearance of your previous wife, of Ivana Trump. So be careful. And if you're going to call her a liar, you know you're going to be in a courtroom, and you're going to be on equal footing. She's going to call you a liar. So why not think of a better way to explain this? And there were so many easy ways that Trump could have explained it. He could have said, look, this happened, 30 years ago. Maybe I did or said something inappropriate. I don't remember doing anything. There's so many ways he could have avoided any lawsuit just by thinking before he talked. But he didn't. So either Trump ignored the advice of his advisors, or Trump chooses to surround himself with people who only tell him what he wants to hear. And this has been a problem in so many different areas of his life. And the other thing that did Trump in on this case, once he was in the middle of the case, is something called depositions. I don't know if you or many of your listeners have ever been involved in depositions, but that's when your testimony is taken under oath, and usually with a video camera, months before the trial, to get your testimony. And I admit I'm not a skilled trial lawyer like Paul D'Amato or Tom Vesper or John Zarich, but every competent lawyer knows that when your client is going through depositions, you have to prepare the client for the deposition, and the first thing you tell the client is, this is not the time to tell your story, because you could give perfect testimony for 3 or 4 hours, and if you just say one 2-minute thing that's careless or stupid, they're going to forget the 3 hours of good testimony and only use the 2 minutes that you screw up. So it's so important when you attend a deposition and you're a witness that you only directly answer the question, and you don't, ramble on and just, tell what you think is your story. And not only do we tell our clients this before depositions, most lawyers have a video that we make our clients watch before the depositions. And we give written instructions before the depositions, and you say it over and over again. This is not the time to tell a story. This is not a time to ramble on. Just answer the question. Now, of course, if you're taking the testimony of the other party to the lawsuit, you do everything you can to provoke the witness on the other side into just getting so angry, they'll just ramble on and on and on. And that's exactly what they did to Trump. And he fell for the bait. He rambled on and on and on. And most of the testimony that inflamed the jury against Donald Trump was that testimony at the deposition? So, again, Trump got himself lawyers that were either not competent or he had competent lawyers and he just didn't listen to the advice. Because, again, this is not rocket science. This is any lawyer who comes out of law school knows how to do this. And I bet you that the Donald Trump deposition testimony will be almost standard textbook material in every single law school around the country.
Yeah, they'll use him as a teaching moment, that's for sure.
Right. But let me quickly get back to immigration. One of the things we posted on our Liberty and Prosperity .com website are 10 immigration talking points that nobody talks about. And so I'm not going to go through them all now, but just a couple of them. People forget that America never, ever had the mass immigration before that we have today. I think we have like something like 30 to 40% of the country was not born here. No country has survived with an invasion like that. But I think one of the other things that no one talks about is the great American middle class. America for years had the highest paid and most productive workers in the world. And why do we have that? The unions say, oh yeah, it's because we had unions. No, the unions had nothing to do with it. The reason we had so much prosperity was we had low taxes, limited government, and the 1920 limits to immigration. See, we never had mass immigration in America before because when you had old sailing ships, it wasn't possible. However, when the new technology of big steamships after the Civil War started mass immigration, there was a national debate, and Americans in 1920 overwhelmingly said, this is not sustainable. We're going to make a law that limits immigration to 100,000 new immigrants each year. And that allows a shortage of unskilled labor. The industries had to invest in and invent new machinery to make Americans the most productive workers in the world. In the 1920s, when this happened, unions were very weak and ineffective. They had nothing to do with it. The second big myth is a lot of especially Jews are saying, well, wait a minute, the immigration limits created the Holocaust. They wouldn't let Jews who wanted to get out of Nazi Germany come to America. And that's another lie, because there were many, many quotas that were open for Jews that wanted to get out of Nazi Germany and come to America. But Democratic President Franklin Roosevelt hired a bunch of anti-Semites to fill the State Department, and they deliberately denied Jews from coming to America, even though the immigration laws allowed tens of thousands of Jews to come here. That's something they don't want to talk about. And another little detail is the Statue of Liberty was not built to welcome immigrants. The Statue of Liberty was built by people of France to say, America is, thank you, America, for showing us how a liberty and equal opportunity can create a safe and prosperous country, and we're not asking that everyone come to America. We can have the American prosperity in our own country if we have a constitution and same culture, just like America has. So that's a big myth about immigration. We got to talk about that more often.
Yeah, we do. And what is the administration going to do? I'm talking about Biden. Do you know what they're going to do about this, or they're just going to continue with, status quo?
Well, what they'll do is at some point they'll stop the immigration because it's not sustainable. Even in the black Democrats in Chicago are getting arrested for trying to block illegal immigrants from coming there. So eventually they'll stop it, but we have to go one step further and reverse it by appointing law enforcement officers and hearing officers and rounding up people and having hearings and deporting them. And that goes against the very nature of tolerant Christian America. But we have to say, which is more important, trying to be compassionate to people who broke the law, or turn her own children and grandchildren into a minority that's going to be as persecuted as the French were in Algeria and whites were in South Africa. So we have to have a serious conversation. I just have time for just two more points. India Republic Day was celebrated last week by Hindus dedicating a new Hindu temple in India. And, of course, all the leftist media denounced India for doing that. But when you realize that we are under attack by this jihadi cult of Islam that is not just going against the Jews in Israel, but going against Christians in Israel, Hindus in India, and Christians are being murdered throughout the Middle East, through Africa, and even in the Philippines. Yet Christians are doing nothing to fight back. And it's refreshing to see that at least the Hindus are joining the Jews in fighting back. And that leads to the final point. There was a very significant event in Margate yesterday. The Jewish Community Center had a 30-year-old, executive of an internet tech company who's also the commander of a Special Forces Reserve unit in the Israeli Army. Gave a riveting presentation about what's going on. And he also pointed out that what's going on in Israel is not Jews against Arabs. It's not Israel against Palestine. It's this jihadi cult of Islam, the Wahhabis I talked about last week, that are on this worldwide jihad against all Christians, all Jews, all Hindus, all Sikhs, all Buddhists around the world. And he said, we've got to mobilize to stop them because we're losing this war. And what was interesting about it is the Anti-Defamation League, which has always blamed all the anti-Semitism on right-wing extremists and white supremacists, never, ever invited me to any local event here in Atlanta County. And for the first time, the ADL leader invited me to attend the event yesterday. And something even more significant, when I ran for Congress 5 years ago, a member of my synagogue published a letter, falsely accused me of being a bigot and a racist. And at the event yesterday, the guy's wife made a point of coming to my table and apologizing for calling me that 5 years ago. So maybe people are waking up. Anyway, it's time to go to Liberty and Prosperity meeting, where besides talking about all these events and the stuff we didn't get to, stuffing envelopes to invite people to hear Craig Calloway speak on February 17th. Tickets are $75. You could pay online or sending a check to our Summers Point office. Have a great week.
Okay, Seth, thank you. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, the website libertyandprosperity.com.